Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman.
Wow, wow, wow. That is what you want and love from Friday Night Football. An incredible game last night. Paul Puopolo, the toast of Hawthorn fans, a goal with 18 seconds on the clock, 5 for the night, and a remarkable third straight win by 3 points for the Hawthorn Football Club. We'll delve into that shortly. Also on the show today, Simon O'Donnell is joining us to talk about the fact his young bloke has been put in the squad for the Victorian cricket team. Bruce McAvaney has got a new show coming out. Always great to speak to the great man, especially in an Olympic year. Greg Russ with all things motorsport. Ledley King, Tottenham Hotspur and England legend, will be coming in for a chat. And we'll also go to Nana Wadding, where we've jumped on a team out there who lost all their players in the pre-season. Is it a Cinderella story? Well, you'll be the judge of that when we speak to their president a little bit later on. But the big Fev is off playing football somewhere today. What a replacement. We sort of had Woodfull and we brought in Bradman in the form of Dale Louis Lewis. Hello, Louis.
G'day, Howie. G'day, family. Look, great to be on with you, Howie. Friday night footy. Funny, listeners, I'm sitting there home last night. I'm just watching it like everybody else in the comfort of the armchair, and I shoot off a text when Adelaide jump out early because I know Howie, massive Hawthorn fan. I mean, who doesn't? The bias just comes through every Saturday morning.
Please.
And he's just firing back Adelaide out by about 15 to 20 points. This might be a tough one. Eddie Betts, what jinx? And then we move forward, and then I get up this morning and I just check the rundown for DSL because it's such a big part of my day. And the opening 5 segments were supposed to be on Paul Puopolo.
They are, and the next
and
6
then
are
the next on Cyril.
Cyril. So and we might get a bit of Sean Burgoyne to round out the 3 hours, I think.
Come on, geez. Awfully lucky. What about that free kick that wasn't paid to Isaac Smith? That's all I'll say.
What about the Adelaide captain that hit the post with 2 minutes on the clock? So much to discuss, Louis. Oh. There'll be no bias on this show. We will talk about the Hawks and the Crows next, though. Mark Howe, Dale Louis should never, ever send text during a game of football. That's a segment later on. That's on Australia, my friend, crowing about Eddie at the 3 minute mark of the first quarter. Mark Howe, Dale Louis, Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Dale Lewis. Melbourne City fans will be very disappointed after they went down to Adelaide. Their season is finished, but don't worry, because there is some fantastic football coming to the MCG, the International Champions Cup. Victory, Juventus, Tottenham Hotspur and Atletico Madrid, if you don't mind. The first game on Friday, the 23rd of July, then the 26th and the 29th. You can get your tickets on Ticketek now. Now, you're excited by our next guest who's on to promote this because you're a big Tottenham man. His name is Ledley King. He has played 321 competitive games for Tottenham and 21 games for England, if you don't mind. He joins us on the line now. G'day, Ledley.
Good morning. Hi, guys.
Well, how are you? Because I saw you at the footy last night watching the Hawks in action. Before we get to the round ball game, what did you think of the AFL? By gee, Ledley, you chose a great game to turn up and have a look at.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was really impressed by the game. You know, the pace of it, the strength of the lads. You know, it was a very good game, obviously. Going down to the last minute, you know, couldn't have chosen a better one.
And Ledley, you got to love the fact the fans can sit side by side and get along and then leave the ground nice and cordially.
Yeah, it was a little bit different, you know. At one stage, there was a Crows fan sitting quite close to me, and it was a bit strange, but, you know, it's nice. It's all played in great spirit, so it's good.
Hey, Ledley, you've been all over the place while you've been out here. It's fantastic. It's just a wonderful thing for Melbourne. I named those teams Victory, Juventus, your team Tottenham and Atletico Madrid. This is your creme de la creme of world football. It's a fantastic thing that it's happening, more so at the MCG.
Yeah, it is. You know, a fantastic venue to play football, you know, and possibly three champions, you know, in Juventus, Atletico and Tottenham. You know, three fantastic sides, and you know, it'd be a great test for Melbourne to play against these players from Europe.
Now, Ledley, I'm glad you put Tottenham in the champions category because we're 5 points behind at the moment, mate, against the Foxes. The run home, 4 games remaining. Can your boy / my boys get the job done?
I'm hoping so. You know, it's been a great season, first and foremost. You know, both Tottenham and Leicester have been the two strongest teams by far, you know, and I expect it to go down to the wire. You know, this weekend's going to be a big one. Swansea will be a difficult side for Leicester to beat. We're hoping that the gap can be closed a little bit by the end of Monday. But yeah, it's been a fantastic season. I think everyone's really enjoying it.
Well, it has been a fantastic season because there's been a different flavour, which obviously you don't always get in the Premiership. The performance of Leicester, Ledley, if they go on and win the Championship, it'll go down as not only the sports story of the year, but one of the sports stories of the decade, because the money they have to spend, where they were coming from in the whole competition, it's an extraordinary sports story.
It is, you know, and I've been trying to think about another story like this, and it's really difficult to find one. I mean, we're talking about a team that were very close to getting relegated last season. You know, they went on a magnificent run just to stay in the Premiership, and you know, this season they've kind of hit the ground running again, continuing to win games, and you know, they've surprised a lot of people. But you know, they've become a really good side, difficult to beat, and you know, that's why they're deservedly top at the moment.
Ledley, I love talking to superstars like yourself because you guys earn as much in a week as some of our players do in a year. Mm. It is just phenomenal to see the talent that's over there. It's the worldwide game. You've been around a lot of the boys who've made the big coin. What's the biggest excess you've seen anyone just splash on in your day?
No, I'm not too sure about that. At Tottenham, we're quite humble. We try to be humble. too many big spenders. I think, you know, a nice house and car and try and be sensible as that. Obviously the players do earn a lot of money, and it's important to be educated, you know, to learn how to deal with this money, because, you know, at a young age, it's not easy to earn such money. But, you know, at the club, we go to great lengths to try and educate young people on how to deal with it.
Yeah, your idea of a nice house and a nice car might be slightly different to mine, Ledley, but I appreciate that. Just as we let you go, running out in the white of England, the three lions on your chest, what is that like when you're running out at Wembley and you're representing your country? I presume as a young fella that's all you wanted to do. When you actually achieve that on the world stage, World Cups, UEFA Cups, it must be an extraordinary moment.
It is. You know, it's the kind of pinnacle of anyone's career to represent your country. You know, fortunately for me, I represented my country at 16s, 18s, 21s, and seniors. So it was kind of a progression. But you know, it was quite possible that I could represent the country at all levels, apart from the seniors. So I was very pleased to have done that. I've done that at age 21, and you know, it's a very proud moment for myself and family. And it was just a disappointment that we couldn't perform at a higher level, especially when it comes to tournaments. But you know, the country at the moment, the team at the moment, seems to be in good hands, a good young squad, and a lot of Tottenham representatives in that squad, so that's great.
Ledley, great to talk to you. You're not going to be allowed back in the country if Tottenham don't win the title, so make sure that happens, and I'll see you back out here for the championships.
Okay, lads, thank you very much.
Great to speak to Ledley King, who you're just blatantly sucking up to. Well, you're not tight with him, I wouldn't have thought, Louis. You might be getting a touch carried away there.
He'll probably get aware if he spends more time in Australia who I am, and should hook up next time, I would have thought.
Doubt. I was going to ask him. He'd played with Beckham, and he saw Cyril last night, who was better, but I thought I might get accused of bias at that point.
Honestly, I mean, you've been copying Beckham's hairdos for a long time now, so you just leave it at that.
We'll hear from Cyril Rioli and the coach of the Hawks, Alistair Clarkson, next. That was Ledley King. I'm Mark Howard. He's Dale Lewis. We're on fire on the Desert Legends. Just ask us on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Dale Lewis. Louis, one of my earlier cricket memories is Dad allowing me to stay up for the second half of the one dayer, and this man would stride to the crease with Australia in trouble at the MCG. Mm. And in my mind, he had a little bat, he was a big man, and he'd just start putting them over the sight screen. He just used to hit straight. His name is Simon O'Donnell. He joins us on the line now. Hello, Simon.
You've got a long memory.
I have, and I was a very, very young man. Great to speak with you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, listen, we can talk about you till the cows come home, but there's a young bloke by the name of Tom O'Donnell, who's an Essendon man, left-arm quick, who's just been included in the Victorian squad of 31 for the first time. He's your son. Congratulations.
Yeah, no, very exciting. Very exciting. We're thrilled for him, and he's put in a hell of a lot of work and dedicated himself to the cause for the last couple of years in particular, and he's come out with that sort of recognition, which is very important at a young fella's age, and basically says, you know, keep up the hard work and you never know what may be around the corner in future years.
So, Dad, did you take him down to the nets? And now, how would Dad go versus the young Tom with the left arm? Would the big fella be putting him back past the seat that's in the MCG where you landed it?
And I've become a little wiser as I've got older, and I leave that to other people to be standing in front of him. The odd time I have had an attempt at a younger age, I fell well short, and I won't be doing it again.
So tell us about him. Is he sharp, or sort of what type of clicks does he bowl with? And tell us a bit about him as a cricketer.
Oh, Harry, look, I think he's a very good cricketer, but I'm biased. Look,
that's all right. Yeah, you're his dad. Yeah. You're allowed to be biased.
He's a left arm quick, and you know, as he's getting older and stronger, he'll get quicker as well. And look, I think the great thing that happens with these young fellas at the age they are now, they're going to be in mixing. I think there's six young or rookie contracts for Victoria. They'll be in mixing with guys who have played international cricket, but some that are coming towards the end of their career, some that are starting or in mid-range, and they'll see the whole diversity of what cricket throws up at them, and they'll have facilities that are a second to none around the country to train and learn from. So, you know, it's a really exciting period for them. In a way, you're just so excited because you probably understand a little bit of the emotion, but you don't understand the background and backgrounding of these youngsters now in sport with all the people they have to help them and the facilities, because, you know, it was different back in, as you've mentioned earlier, Howie, they were black and white telly days back when you were watching as a kid.
Hey, Simon, let's turn our attention to South Africa and the pink ball fiasco at the moment. Can you believe that, and in particular to me, I'm in Adelaide at the moment, that the Adelaide day-night test, such a success last time, that South Africa are stalling and don't want to be a part of it?
Yeah, well, it's disappointing, I suppose. Our game's really challenged at the moment to stay financially viable. And if we, I would hope common sense will prevail in the end, that, you know, countries understand that, look, yes, it's a touch on the gimmicky side, but, you know, when you're showcasing the game and trying to keep it alive and vibrant, you know, change must happen. So I do really think and hope that the whole of the cricketing fraternity worldwide, you know, embraces that change. It's not going to be every test match that's played, but at times you do need something different just to revitalise the game, make sure that the interest level is there, not only for the hardened followers, but for the new fans, and trying to create opportunity for them to enjoy the game.
Spot on. Okay, we need to send you to South Africa and deliver that message to AB de Villiers and the boys, because never a chore. Now, Simon, as well as being a cricket star and a World Cup winner, you're obviously heavily involved in the horses. Now, I don't like to do this to you on a Saturday morning when you've got up and we're pumping you up about your son and you're having a coffee and you're reading the papers and you're thinking the Saints might have a win, but I just want to take you back to a little bit of audio to the 2008 Melbourne Cup where you own the horse, Bauer.
200 metres to go. Bauer ran to second. Saint-Aguirre coming home hard. Dude in front. Bauer's a big danger. Dude behind them. Bauer's getting there. Dude holding on. Bauer dives. Dude knows the Bauer, I think.
Oh, Dude. Yeah. I actually read, Simon, after that your horse, because it was smaller, it ran the track faster but still came second. How does it, in all seriousness, how do you go listening to that? You're so close.
Actually, that I don't mind listening to that, Harry. That's still the greatest moment I've had in racing.
Fantastic.
Albeit we ran second, you know, to get that close to a Melbourne Cup. Probably the thing that gets up my gut still to this day, 8 years on, is when people come and say, gee, mate, I remember that day when Bauer just got beat. I had mine on it.
Oh.
Yeah. I can't believe it got beat. I still don't believe it got beat. Yeah. You feel like saying, "Oh, right, how much did you have on it? $10. I think it was $18. You lost $180. We lost $3 million.
Yeah. Yeah, and the rest, Simon, that you had on it. Your massive part of your history is the Saints. Have you been following the journey so far? Because the boys look like they might be turning the corner this season.
Yeah, they were fantastic last week. I watched all the game last week was jumping out of the chair every now and then. I just think footy's fantastic. You know, watching last night, I mean, the spectacle and the changes they've made, you know, with the interchange. I, for whatever reason, and I can't put, you know, my finger on it exactly why, but the footy seems more exciting this year than was last year.
Yeah. Yep.
My parents saying that?
No, absolutely. Yep, absolutely. It's a faster flowing game. They're trying to keep the ball in. It doesn't go across the boundary line. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed the start of the season. And, you know, they're fit athletes, and look, you know, you think back to the 80s, you think, wow, you know, we wouldn't have been able to run half a quarter the way they're running them now.
Yep. Simon, listen, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to your young bloke, Tom. I just think of you now, and they're paying Shane Watson nearly $2 million to play in the IPL. Imagine if it was Simon O'Donnell now. Big hitter and just canny medium paces. You'd be on about $6
million. And I'll put the wellies on and back out. We've got to unload a semi full of hay this morning, Howie. That's how well I'm going.
Back to the real world. We appreciate your time, Simon, for having a laugh with us. And as we said, best of luck to your young bloke, Tom.
Good on you, guys. Great to chat.
Great to speak to Simon O'Donnell. I can still remember listening to that World Cup that they won.
You're a brave man, Howie. You're a brave man to bring that up. And don't worry about the IPL. Young Tom's going to that, and he's going to make Dad $6 million.
That's exactly right. Next, we are talking on-air stuff-ups, because there was a genuine beauty, Ron Burgundy style this week, Louis, that I don't like to play to you, but I'm going to have to. That's next on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Dale Lewis. Louis, a new show starting on Channel 7 today. It's called Off the Record. It's all about our Olympians in the lead-up to the Olympics in Rio this year. It's fronted by, for mine, the best sports commentator on the planet. He joins us on the line now, the great Bruce McAvaney. G'day, Bruce.
You're very generous, Howie, on this Saturday morning. I appreciate it. How are you, mate, Louis?
We are fantastic. Now, before we get into this show, we've got an issue which has been bubbling away on the show, Bruce, and we need some advice, if we could be so bold. Our man that pushes the buttons here, Hyphen, is emceeing his first ever wedding tonight. I think he's coming in underprepared. He's got poor jokes. He's trying to go off the cuff. Bruce, have you just got a couple of tips for him so he doesn't destroy poor Ben and Chantel's and Caitlin's wedding?
Day. Well, it's a pressure job, isn't it? Emceeing a wedding. I think it's one of the toughest gigs in town. And look, if the jokes are no good, I suggest it's all in the delivery. So let's see how he goes. I mean, let's face it, Dennis has never told a good joke, but God, he delivers them well, doesn't he?
That's exactly right. It's a big day for him, Bruce.
And look, if things aren't going well, just go to the loo and keep going, I reckon, don't you?
Disappear.
I wish him well. I wish him well. I'd like to know how it all goes.
We hope it goes horrifically if we think it will, Bruce. Now, listen, there's a new show coming up. And in your time in sports broadcasting, you had that wonderful show, Seasons, where you're allowed to sit down and spend quality time with quality people and make quality TV. In some ways, that's disappeared. I'm aware of this myself. The chance to sit down and make a full-length show about one or two people, it's a rarity in modern television, so congratulations that you've got it going. And two, what a treat it must be to work on something like what I would almost describe 1980s or 1990s style wonderful television.
Well, Howie, you're right. And look, it's been an incredible experience. So this program, Olympians Off the Record, we've done it 12 of the 15 we're going to do. We've got three more to go, and started recording them last year. A couple have already gone to air, and the one that's going to air in about a half an hour's time is Chantel Newbury, who's got a tough story. She's a first Olympic diving gold medalist in 80 years when she won in 2004, and her life sort of went off the rails after that. So, yeah, look, I spent this week interviewing the Campbell sisters. They'll come up in a few weeks' time. So, yeah, a range of people from, you know, Susie O'Neill, Chantel Newbury, Anna Mears, all the way through to people like Luke Longley, Jess Fox, the Campbell sisters. So it's been a great experience. I've been in the Cape a long time, I guess, and you get excited like when you go to the footy last night. But this series has really regenerated me in some ways, so I've loved doing it.
Wow.
Macca, some stars kick on and their stars burn brightly. Others, like Chantel, sort of struggle to cope with life away from it, the discipline that sport, I suppose, provides around it, and they fall into the big, deep, dark abyss that is sometimes, like in her case, drugs.
Yep, absolutely. And hers is it's a story that's unfinished, to be honest, and not sure how it ends up. And her life's been hard. She's dealing with it in the best way that she can. And you're right. I mean, people that achieve incredible things often pay a penalty for it and a price. And you just mentioned about the self-discipline that it takes to be a great athlete. You know, we've had a very public case with that this week with Grant Hackett. So, look, it's very hard for great sporting people and I guess anyone that achieves something in the early stages of their life to replicate that. How does somebody who's an Olympic gold medalist or an incredible footballer or cricketer or whatever it might be, how do they get the same buzz out of their life 10 years after their retirement? I think there's a challenge for all those sports people and people that I think are high achievers at an early age in anything.
Olympians off the record, midday today with Bruce McEvain out front, of course, on Channel 7, featuring Chantelle Newbury. Bruce, you'll be at the Olympics this year, and I know how much of a thrill you get. And I'll be shattered to be honest, sitting at home and watching it, because that's all you want to do in this profession is go to the Olympics. Usain Bolt, he has revitalised the Olympics. He's the poster boy. You'll be calling the athletics. Do you think he can go three in a row?
I think so, Howie. Look, his first race will be on May the 14th. He's saying training's going really well, and you believe him because he does rise to the occasion. He gets himself in great nick. I think he'll win. I think in the 200, he's probably 2 or 3 metres in front of the whole world. But in the 100, there's a whole new wave of people coming on, and there's a couple of oldies that are still around, the two Americans, Gatlin and Tyson Gay. But I think, look, he's the favourite. It would be something. I mean, no one's ever won three. And he goes in there, I think, with everybody behind him. And it's going to be arguably the biggest story of the Olympics, that 100-metre final, because, you know, he could create something that we'll never see again. So I'm thinking he's the one to beat. I'm hoping that he wins, but it's no sure thing. I think the 100 metres is deeper than it's ever been, and he's going to have to be up for the challenge. As long as he doesn't get injured and presents himself on the day... Then he's certainly going to be, I think, there in the last 10 metres. So he's hoping, eh?
We're going to keep you, stick around if you don't mind, Bruce, but you just brought up very quickly a man, Justin Gatlin. I've seen him run in Olympics in the past. Obviously, he had his issues with drugs in the past. Should he be there, Bruce? I know it's a tough question to ask, and we're doing everything we can to pump up the Olympics, etc., and we hope it's drug-free, but should he be there running on the biggest stage of all, do you reckon?
I don't think so. No, I don't. I think once you've had a serious drug offence, I reckon you're gone. Legally, unfortunately, it's very hard to sustain that. But I think if you've had a serious offence, I think that's it. And look, certainly with what's happened over the last few months in sport, and particularly track and field with the Russians, and you know all the innuendo surrounding the Kenyans and the Ethiopians, I think there's a change in people's philosophy about this, and I've got a feeling this might turn for the better. But to answer your question, no, I don't think he should be there, to be honest.
Bruce McEvain is continuing to jump around on the line to Cake in the background. His new show, Olympians Off the Record, midday today, Saturday on Channel 7. It is, of course, all about Chantelle Newbury, which is worth looking forward to now before we get to Cyril, Louis.
Yeah, sit tight, boys. We'll get to Cyril, and he was great, and Puopolo. Bruce, need to take you to the closing seconds of last night. Isaac Smith, 10 metres out from goal. It's a real hot footy. Pulls it down to the chest, and then amongst the pressure and the tackle, just coughs the footy up, free kick or not.
Yeah, free kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think so, for sure. And tough one for an umpire to make, and there's a lot of people around the ball, you know, do they get a clear view? But yeah, I would have thought free kick for sure. Incredible finish to what was an amazing night. It really was. It had everything. So, but I think, you know, probably the turning point for me was when Brody Smith missed the target, you know, and he's a good kick.
Yeah,
and
Seedsman,
they were sort of in control. Seedsman didn't take the mark, the ball got turned over and sort of provided a lifeline for Hawthorn, and we know what happened after that. It was amazing stuff.
Bruce, you and Dennis, it's like sort of Court Marsh, Bold Lily, or Hayden and Langer, or sort of Warne and McGrath. It's one of the great combinations in Australian sport. And
Howard Lewis.
Well, Howard Lewis has probably got a little bit to go before we sort of get to that type of level, I would have thought. Den's going to walk away, Bruce. What's going to happen? Who are you going to call with? How are you going to feel without Den there, just to reassure you?
Yeah, it's going to be strange. In fact, I just saw him about 15 minutes ago with V's wife, and I said to V, can you talk him out of it? And she said, no way. Look, and it is going to be strange. And, God, I love calling with him and working with him.
Why? Why?
You know, because he's so different, and yet he's so stable in a unstable way, and that doesn't make much sense. I mean, you never quite know what you're going to get from him, but you know it's going to be good. And you know that it's going to be different. He looks at things a bit different. He is old school in some ways, and yet he resonates with contemporary people so well. So, yeah, there's only one Dennis. He said so many things that I wish I'd said, thought. But look, whoever it is, and look, I don't know how long I've got to go, to be honest. I mean, he's about 2 or 3 years older than me, and I'm 63 shortly. So I guess we all start to think about it. You guys are younger, so you're far away from it. But for the first time in my life, I've probably, you know, I'm not going to give you guys the fact that I'm retiring, because I'm not, and I've still got a lot to look forward to. But you sort of start to think, so don't know what you know, I'm not sure who's going to get the job. I would imagine it will come from within the group that are already working. You know, you've got Hamish and Brian and Basil and Luke. They're the four that I read in the newspaper article. I've had no discussions with anybody about it, and I really don't want to be involved in the decision. I'll work with whoever Seven put up and look forward to that. They're all incredibly capable people, and I'll enjoy it. But it will be different, and I'm going to say when I do retire that, you know, working with Dennis is going to be one of the absolute highlights of my life.
Dead Set Legends exclusive. McAvaney quits live on air. When Denny's done, I am done. You heard it first, Louis.
What I love the most too is, and did Bruce, you just say you're both going into the same nursing home upon retiring and calling all the action?
Actually, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would be.
There'd be a few centimetre perfects and corks in the ocean. And maybe a special, and hopefully that nursing home has good food, and I can say that word that I said once about Cyril.
And that word was?
Delicious.
Yes.
Imagine that. You've got your trolley, your walker, you're coming in and Bruce and Dennis are calling it, and how it might be your grandfather, and he parks it beautifully. He gets it through a nice tight spot. I can see it now, Bruce. It's going to be gold.
It's frightening, isn't it? It feels so real. It's very frightening.
How much prep's going into the Olympics, Bruce? I had the great pleasure to see you in 2004 in Athens up close and personal, and it sort of showed me what was required to perform at your level, which the rest of us don't get anywhere near. But you've started, you've got the books going, you've got Joshy Kay working away with you, your great mate, the statistician. How much work's going on behind the scenes to make you the genius that you are?
Oh, you make me sound a lot better than I am, Howie, that's for sure. No, I'm doing a lot. I'm doing as much as I can and trying to stay sane. But, yeah, look, I love it. I love the preparation. It makes me tense and agitated at the same time, but I probably started about 18 months ago, and I do, you know, I'm committed to it, and mainly in track and field, but sort of big picture stuff because I'm doing the ceremony, so I never take anything for granted or lightly, and you forget so much, you know, having not done them for a while. So I'm doing as much as I can, and I don't know, you know, how long is the string in the end? I mean, how much can you do, and you can overcook yourself?
Well, you've started 18 months ago where the fields wouldn't have exactly been set, Bruce, so there would have been a few scratching in that time. Louis, one more question before we let the great man on with his day.
Just with Macca, I would love to see you off the cuff, Macca. I would just like one day you just go and ask stuff it. Oh, I'm not doing any research. Josh, take the morning off, go and do what you need to do. And you just roll in cold, Mac, and just say to Dan, guess what, Dan, I've done no prep.
We're just like hosting Dead Set Legends, Louis. Stop.
Yeah, Louis, look, Louis, yes. Can I tell you, that's exactly how I've approached this interview today.
And it's been some fine work,
some
too,
of his
Bruce.
Best work.
Just as we let you go, we're short on time. What were your thoughts on the game of 33 for Hawthorn last night, Cyril Rioli?
How long have we got?
Well, as long as you want. Don't worry about the Saturday rub. We can go through to 2 o'clock. Right. He was good, wasn't he?
He is such a joy to watch and call. No, we all love him, and he didn't let us down. No, he's a rare beast.
He is.
Rare beast.
As are you, Bruce. We really appreciate your time off the record from midday today on Channel 7.
Thanks,
it's a big year. There's so much sport on 7, and you do it better than anyone. We appreciate your time, and if we don't speak to you beforehand, have a great time in Rio, and just be careful over there, Bruce.
Good on you, Howie. See you, Louis. All the best.
Thanks, Macca.
Bruce McAvaney on the Dead Set Legends. That's as good as it gets for me, having a chat with him, Louis.
Oh, clearly I can hear it coming through the mic. I'm going to put together a package at the end of the show just of Howie's love fest with Bruce, which is great. No, he's a superstar.
He's the guru. Next, we will talk about Adam Scott and whether we think he should be going to the Olympics or not. Mark Howard, he was Bruce McAvaney. He's Dale Lewis. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Dale Lewis. Lou, we've been following a story this year, grassroots football. It involves the Nunawading Football Club, and their president, Wayne Devine, joined us a couple of months ago. This is a club that was destroyed, losing all its players. This is what happened. Your coach left, and explain to us what happened there. Basically, you lost your whole team.
We did, yeah. Unfortunately, the players and our senior coach left the club, and we had one player left at the start of pre-season.
One?
You had one player. Was he a good player?
Well, he was a new one.
This could be one of the stories. This could be Cinderella's story. If they win a game, and I think you guys, as I said, you've broke it. I think you need to follow this team. Can't wait to hear your show throughout the year. To see how Wayne Devine's Nunawading Footy Club's going, the Lions.
Well, the Lions have played 2 games this season. It has been, in some ways, a Cinderella story. We've had a massive build-up to this. We've got Wayne Devine on the line now. Hello, Wayno.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Well, this is quite remarkable. As we said, you lost your whole squad. You had one player down to training. Can this be the fairy tale that all of Victoria is hoping for? Round one, how did you go? What was the end result?
The end result was we were defeated by 224 points.
That's okay. That's round one. The boys are gelling. Round two last week, how'd you go?
We lost by a record margin. I think it was about 300 and something we lost by.
339 has been brought to my attention, Wayne.
That's right. It was quite a big margin. But both weeks, I must say, like the watching the boys play, they didn't stop trying. But, and even the opposition teams were actually, their presidents were putting things out and talking to me and saying that, you know, they've seen some big buildings before, but to see boys not stop trying and in the last quarter still making an effort was amazing. So for our club, that's a big win.
Wayne, do you think it's the game plan or possibly the list?
I think it's a bit of both, Howie, to be honest with you. I think our game plan hasn't had much of a tweaking because we didn't have a list, and the list that we do have didn't have much of a game plan idea. So,
have you pulled the boots on yourself? There was talk that you were going to come back out of retirement and play. Has that happened?
It did, yes. I played round one to help the boys out. I ended up breaking a couple of my ribs. But unfortunately, that didn't matter too much because last Tuesday I got a phone call to have my kidney transplant, so I'm going to be out now for the season anyway. I had that done last week and just got out of hospital a few days ago.
Well, great news to hear you're back on deck.
Yes.
Right, how are you going to turn this around? Because we've pumped you up. You're part of the Dead Set Legends now. We just got our ratings during the week. You'll be stoked to know they're at a record all-time high. So we are flying. Yep. We can't afford you boys to drag us down, Wayne.
No, well, we've put a few things in place, Howie. We've decided to start a new recruiting campaign. We're looking for the people with their who are about to turn 60 who haven't played footy for a while. In all honesty, boys, we're still getting all from the plugs we got from you guys and the work we've been doing. It's been amazing for our club. We've actually just signed a brand new sponsor this week. We've got a 5-year deal for $5,000 a year out of Kia at Blackburn.
Fantastic. Well done to Kia at Blackburn.
Yeah. So that was awesome from them. And we've still got more players coming through the door. We've got players who haven't played for a couple of years. We've played some decent level footy, but from work and that haven't been able to play, but now looking to get back into it, and they've signed up. So in total, we've got 65 players on our list effective this week.
So, I know the DSL love to get involved, and like Howie said, you're looking for players. Howie, one who's absent today, normally on this show, in this seat, Brendan Favola. The Fair Visiting Service has been offered up.
He kicked 10 last week. He's in. He will play at some stage this season.
Yeah, so we'd love to have him down there for a game or something. We've got a couple of big, like a Dreamtime game coming in May. I'm not sure if we can make that one, but we've got also our very last round would be a good one. It's the breast cancer awareness round. One of our young players' mothers passed away from that, so we're trying to organise someone to help us out with a set of pink boots and socks on that for the day. Yep.
Well, I think we'll throw in Favola, we'll throw in Carey as well. My only concern is you got Favola at full forward, you got Carey at centre-half forward, and the ball never gets forward to centre, Louis.
So, yeah, that's the caveat, Wayno. Can you find somebody who can get the nut to get it inside 50?
Could be me, Louis.
Yeah, we'll try you down there, mate. We'll get you out there. We're getting the ball on the forward line quite a bit. Our biggest problem is that we just don't know where to put it to at the moment.
Through the goals, Wayne. Through the two big sticks.
That's the press. It's the press. They're not squeezing up and shortening the field up enough. That's the big one.
Hey, Wayne, listen, mate, we appreciate your time. We are still on board, although a couple more record-breaking losses and we might just slide off a bit. But we're on board, mate. We're glad your health's coming good. And to all the boys out there at Nutterwadding, best of luck. I've been in a footy season that didn't win a footy team that didn't win a game all year. Louis used to play for the Swans under Ron Barassi, so he knows.
33 in a row, Wayne. 33 in a row I did not win. It's a record.
So stick with it, Wayne. We appreciate your time, and well done to the boys at Kia Blackburn for jumping on board as well.
Thanks, boys. Just one last thing. We actually got a prime time game this week. We're playing on Anzac Day itself down at Whitehorse Pioneers. So
do you deserve it?
Is there a backlash?
Well, we don't know, mate, but we're going to take everything we can get. So
where and when's that?
Okay, so Whitehorse Pioneers, it's on Springfield Road at Blackburn. At Box Hill.
Okay, well, someone get down there and enjoy the show.
Get there early.
It'll be entertaining. Good on you, Wayne. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Wayne Devine from the Nunawading Club.
No, I love it. These are the stories I like, Howie. It just takes a moment. I love the fact that, you know, how all 40 players left, that we're always telling players, play for your coach. And then they walk out with him.
What about the new bloke that turned up on the first day and said, have I got the wrong day for training? He said, no, this is it. Mark Howard, Dale Lewis, Dead Set Legends, Triple M. I'm loath to do this next segment because we both work in the media industry where you are only one moment away from losing your job, from saying the wrong thing, the inappropriate thing, the thing when you don't realise the microphone's on thing. You're only one step away. So you open yourself up to criticism. So I must point out that this is not criticism, but we're just going to highlight a slight error that was made this week. Now, my favourite film of all time, Anchorman with Ron Burgundy, and the classic scene where someone puts a question mark on the end of the auto cue and Ron follows it.
Well, that's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy?
Damn it! Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter? For the last time, anything you put on that prompter, Burgundy will read.
Now, I love that. I love that, Louis. I love it.
You know why it's so funny? Because it's so true.
It is.
And most people don't realise this, but those who have to work with auto cues, and I've only ever done it once or twice, Harry, you're far more experienced than me, but it is something is there that has to get out so you read it. So that to me makes me laugh. The other one, the classic Burgundy one there, which we won't play now because it's a little R-rated, is the sign-off gig to San Diego. That was, again, written in there. I mean, if only we had auto-cue on the Dead Set Legends.
Well, and the auto-cue. So you sit there, you've got a camera, and the auto-cue sits directly above the camera, and it just scrolls through. If you're a real cheap country operation, you have to scroll it through yourself.
Yeah.
If you're a big city network 10 style, you've got a network operator whose whole job is to type it in. And it may have things in there like throw to Dale Lewis or cross to such and such. Now, the great Kenny Sutcliffe, and he is a legend of Australian broadcasting.
Good old Two Dogs.
Yes, Two Dogs indeed. He had the afternoon news this week. He was thrown to a young Melbourne bloke called Ayrton Woolley. And there was information on the auto cue to direct him where to go and what to do. And, well, it didn't go well for Kenneth.
Time for sport with Ken Sutcliffe. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, Davina. Lovely to be here with you. The Gold Coast Suns forward, Stephen May, faces a lengthy suspension when he fronts the AFL Tribunal tonight. Two-way boxes, nine bet and fully was at AFL House.
Now, a two-way box is written in there, so you realise you're looking up and you're seeing the second fella on screen. And, well, Kenny's roll out. Have a look at the video because Kenny's realised as he's read two-way boxes that he's... Yeah. Well, that he's made a real mess of it, Louis. It tickled my fancy, that.
Yeah, look, I love him dearly. It's like potting Bambi. I love him from the Graham Kennedy days.
We've done it.
So we've done it. The one with it all is, though, you know, and does TV, you know better than me, Howie, is there a three-strike policy in TV, like with the AFL drug system?
Well,
if you have three of those, is it time to move on?
Well, no, because I've made about seven, Louis. Live TV kills you every time. I still recall, this is not an auto-cue situation, I still recall being with Channel 10 at the Red Bull Air Race in Perth. We only did it once, and there's a good reason for that. And it was, it came to the final race of the season, and there was two gentlemen involved. One had won five titles, one had never won a title. The one that had never won a title, completed his run, scores come through. The producer says in my ear, tell him congratulations to Paul, he's just become world champion. They've done the points. Yep. So I go, congratulations, Paul, you've just become world champion. He breaks down in tears. It's his life works right there. He's in tears. He hugs me. This is live on national television. Halfway through the interview, I hear in my ear from the producer, mate, we've made a stuff up with the points. He's come second.
So you're Australia's version of Miss Universe.
I was. I had to tell him live on air, actually, sorry, bad news is you've come second. And a horrific, horrific moment, Louis. And this is what can happen in live TV.
Oh, Kenny, don't worry about yours. That Kenny's is nothing.
Horrible, horrible.
How was the feeling after the camera stopped and then what played out after that?
Well, it got a bit nasty. Are you serious? What are you doing to me? This is my career. Yelling at me, swearing at me. I'm only delivering the information. Yeah. The classic one, though. The classic one that must be played at this time. The great Sandy Rides, a long time ago, out in the country with a young lady that's just been named as a Miss Australia contestant by the name of Leanne Dick is her name. And this is what Sandals has gone with live on air.
And in fact, we still have Miss Australia with us in Leanne Cock and Leanne Dick, I should say.
That is gold from Sandals. And for anyone who knows Sandy, that is just absolutely brilliant. It's almost the making of you. Howie, you need one of those moments to move on, don't you?
Yeah, but in modern society, you can't afford to do that because you'll lose your job. Well done to Kenny and Sandy.
Thank God social media wasn't around back then
for
Sandals.
Right. Oh, crikey. We'll get Kenny on next week. No, I'm not. He probably won't come on. Greg Russ joins us next. He's had some cock-ups in his time. Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Dale Lewis. Register your details at triplem.com.au for your chance chance to score $1,000 to spend at your local Husqvarna dealer. Husqvarna products deliver pro-grade performance at an affordable price. Husqvarna, ready when you are. Thanks to all our wonderful guests on the show, including Simon O'Donnell, Greg Rust, Ledley King, Bruce McAvaney, and plenty more. This is a bit of what went on in the last 3 hours. Simon O'Donnell.
When people come and say, gee, mate, I remember that day when Bauer just got beat. I had mine on it.
Oh. Yeah.
You can't believe it got beat. I feel like saying, how much did you have on? $10. I think it was $18. You lost $180. We lost $3 billion.
Yeah. Ledley King, he's played 321 competitive games for Tottenham.
Tottenham and Leicester have been the two strongest teams by far. I expected to go down to the wire. You know, this weekend's going to be a big one.
Can this be the fairy tale that all of Victoria's hoping for? Round one, how did you go? What was the end result?
We were defeated by 224 points.
Round two last week, how'd you go?
We lost by a record margin. I think it was about 300 and something we lost by.
339 has been brought to my attention, Wayne.
It was quite a big margin. Biggest problem is that we just don't know where to put it to at the moment.
Through the goals, Wayne. Through the two big sticks. The best sports commentator on the planet, the great Bruce McAvaney. Our man that pushes the buttons here, Hyphen, is emceeing his first ever wedding tonight. Bruce, have you just got a couple of tips for him?
Hey, look, if things aren't going well, just go to the loo and keep going, I reckon, don't you?
He's had another fantastic game for his footy club.
Yeah, Cyril's all right. I'm going okay.
Yeah, it has been a big, big show. That's brought to you by Harvey Norman, the King Size Capacity Laundry Specialist. All right, Lou, we've got a minute, 15 seconds to go. Your dead set legend of the week.
Well, I can't split him. Juddy for having twins. Fantastic. Well done to him and Beck. That is great work. A little bloke by the name of Tino Best. He's a West Indian fast bowler. He's written a book called Mind the Windows. Just Google it. You'll understand what I'm talking about there. 650? Can you believe that,
and
Howie?
That's not wickets.
No, and the other one, this is my main man. Anybody can get nipples back on the front and back page of sport whilst travelling on a 55-minute flight. Gets my nod. Grant Hackett. Hacky, good to have you back.
You've gone Grant Hackett, Dead Set Legend of the Week.
Oh, mate, don't judge. Don't judge.
No, we're nearly out of time. I had a lot of nominations. I didn't know whether to go to Sean Burgoyne.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know whether to go to Alistair Clarkson.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know whether to go for Cyril Rioli.
How's the theme?
In the end of the... What's the theme?
Hawthorne.
Oh,
Hawthorne?
Right. In the end of the day, I've gone from that away from that theme. I've gone for Paul Puopolo. Five goals, the match-winning goal last night. Hey, Louis, it's been an absolute treat to have you on. Feb will be back next week, but by gee, you've kicked 15 or the equivalent today. Well done.
Look, I've enjoyed it, and I love the love fest with Bruce McAvaney too, so I'll catch up with that next time.
That's it. He is the guru. Hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back from 9 o'clock next Saturday morning with Brendan Favola. Time now for the boys from the Saturday Rub. Have a wonderful, wonderful, safe Anzac weekend. Drive carefully. See you soon. Peace and love.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman.